this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome to Unleashed. I'm Dr. Ted Noel, and I'm glad you could join me on your home for the web's best political news analysis. Truth is not a left-wing value, thus saith Dennis Prager. And he's right, because the left doesn't give, well, pick your expression for the truth. They are, by every and all means possible, by any means necessary, ready to romp forward toward whatever it is that they're asking us to give in to. The big problem is that almost all of the false things that the left says are either lies, that means they know that they're not true, or they are delusions. They believe a lie. And frankly, for most lefties, including those who walk around with placards because George Soros paid for the pizza, those people are believing a lie. And it's common when you look at the man in the street interviews, they haven't got a clue what's going on. So let's take a look. And it struck me that the Bible has a couple of things to say about this. In Luke 18, Jesus is speaking and he's telling a parable. And he says, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax gatherer. That's part of a bigger discussion, but notice, he is better than everybody else. And of course, if we go on and read the rest of the story, it turns out that this guy has already received his reward and he won't have any rewards in the kingdom. And let's go on and take a look at 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. And the King James puts it rather interestingly. Says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Notice all power. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Notice the term, delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't know anything that describes the left any better than that. They didn't believe the truth. They were deluded. And they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, a delusion is a psychiatric problem. And we'll come back to that later when we talk about alphabet soupism. Now, I really didn't intend this to be theology, but unfortunately, the Supreme Court of the state of Arizona just came out with a ruling that frankly forces us to look at some theological history. Because when you look at abortion, abortion really pits two groups against each other. You have a Christian group, by and large, or even non-Christians who basically think of themselves as being good people and want to respect life. They're on the one side. And then you have the left, which says, it does not matter. And as you will remember, the governor of Virginia, who at the time had been a pediatric neurologist said, oh, it's going to be just fine. If after the baby's born, mama doesn't want it, we can leave it sitting there, get cold. And, you know, we doesn't matter if it dies, you know, that's murder. I'm sorry. But that's what the left thinks about. And they love to say that abortion is about women's health. For which the counterpoint must always be, what about the life of the baby? Because the baby is a person. Or is it? Let's get there. If we look at the biblical stories, we see the story of Tamar in Genesis 38, who tricked her father-in-law into getting her pregnant. And when he discovered she was pregnant, he said, she's gone into adultery. She needs to be burned. And, you know, she's 3 months pregnant. You're going to lose a baby. You're going to kill the baby, etc. That was pretty obvious. But notice that the Bible doesn't say this was a good thing. This was just what he believed. As it turned out, she hadn't done anything bad. He was the one who sinned. But let's go on. The Jewish conceptions. Maimonides, one of the greatest of all of the rabbis, said that if you have something going on where you injure mom and you kill the fetus, that is definitely death penalty. No question. You did something wrong first. It was a consequence of another wrong action. Now, the ancient rabbis, we know from the Mishnah and the Talmud, said that the fetus was not really a baby, a person, until about 40 days. That's 6 weeks, roughly. Now, Orthodox Jews today will say abortion is only to save the life of the mother. And I sit here and I remember the one abortion I was in intentionally was a case where we tried to save mother's life and because baby was killing her. It turns out that both died. It was beyond recovery. Now, on the other side of the Jewish coin are Reformed Jews who allow any reason except birth control. Now, most of us will recognize quickening happens somewhere 12 to 16 weeks, and the legal analysis of the Arizona case supports the idea that abortion, when it was pre-quickening, did not present as death of a person, and nobody was ever prosecuted for it unless the baby had kicked a little. But let's continue on church history. Clement of Alexandria, in his fifth Miscellanies, which is about 200 AD, said, now we know that neither things which are clear are made subjects of investigation, such as, if it is day, while it is day, nor things unknown and never destined to become clear, as whether the stars are even or odd in number, nor things convertible, and those are so which can be said equally by those who take the opposite side, as if what is in the womb is a living creature or not. Notice, he's one of the early church fathers and recognizes that there's a problem at that point. Now, the Didache, which is contemporary with Clement, condemns abortion. But is it condemning it after quickening? See, we don't know. The letter of Barnabas is the same. Augustine in the 5th century, all condemn abortion. But is it abortion before the baby kicks? The problem we've got is that the Arizona case may have been decided without taking the time to look at historical data. What they did was look at the raw words of the law. The law simply says, quote, a person who provides, supplies, or administers to a pregnant woman, or procures such woman to take any medicine, drugs, or substance, or uses or employs any instrument or any other means, whatever, with the intent thereby to procure the miscarriage of such woman, unless it is necessary to save her life, shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for not less than 2 years, no more than 5 years, end quote. Notice, pregnant woman. We understand a lot more now from ultrasounds and everything else. You can do that early pregnancy test where you test the urine for HCG levels and so on. They didn't have any of this. This law was during the Civil War, 1864. It was before Arizona actually became a state. And what do we have? We have a law that dealt with the level of science at that point. And the level of science at that point said, we're not sure you're pregnant until the baby starts to kick. That's called quickening. And that's 12 weeks, maybe 16 weeks. Hence, we see all of these laws of 15-week abortion bans. They're all very consistent with historical understandings. And the idea that you would also include the possibility of abortion in rape or incest finds support in history, and it finds support in certain Jewish history. So when we get to this, I was on the side that said no abortion, period, except for the life of the mother. And I'm scratching my head going, maybe it's better to take the conventional construction, which says life of the mother, rape, or incest, and those three are legitimate as long as you go before 15 weeks. That may be the best middle road position. But we find a lot of modern Christians who are tainted, and I use the word advisedly, by detailed scientific information, and they are unable to separate that from where we come. And it's our history that really should tell us how we should understand the issue of pregnancy and abortion. But I must note that the lefties want this historical analysis for abortion, but of course, never for guns, which happens to be one of their enemies. As we go to break, remember to subscribe to this broadcast, like it, share it with your friends. Don't let them miss out on articles, podcasts, and pertinent news on AmericaOutloud.news. You'll always find the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who put God and country first. When we come back, we'll explore a little bit more about abortion.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to Unleashed, where we have many excellent hosts, both on Unleashed at 7 p.m. on weekdays and on topical podcasts available on demand. Don't forget to spread the news about our America Out Loud articles and podcasts. Become active patriots who make a difference. Let's do everything we can to keep the truth alive. As promised, we're going to revisit abortion. Now, you may know that in the United States, the foremost proponent of abortion early on, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was Margaret Sanger. And Margaret Sanger was a blatant out front racist. And she thought that abortion was one way to help in what's called eugenics. And eugenics is the idea that you can improve the genetic mix of the population. Her technique, kill off the blacks. She regarded the blacks as inferior. And remember, she's racist because she's using racial characteristics which have nothing to do with anything other than appearance as her criterion for who's good and who's bad. Now, we do remember that early along, even the Smithsonian Institution had a display where the blacks were part of the display. I mean, live blacks. They were essentially caged monkeys, if you will. And the Smithsonian thought that this was perfectly normal. It was demonstrating the inferior character of the blacks. Now, back to Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger set up the organization to peddle abortion to the black population. And the black population nowadays is somewhere around 11 to 12% of our total population. And Planned Parenthood facilities are predominantly in black neighborhoods. And the vast majority of all abortions are in the black community. So this is clearly a racist effect. If there was no abortion in the black community, they might be 14, 15, 16%. Who knows? I haven't done the math on it. But it's interesting that abortion, a blatantly racist practice, is a central tenet of the Democrat Party. Now, let's take a minute and go back, because we're going to look at that Arizona decision again a little bit. The canons of legal interpretations have three big issues. The first one is, why in the world did the writers use those words? And part of that, we will see, has to do with what the public understood the words to mean. Now, there are some words that are very clear in public use, and other words are what are called legal terms of art. The classic is the constitutional high crimes and misdemeanors for impeachment. That's a legal term of art, goes back to England. But most words like abortion, you think about them and say, okay, they're pretty straightforward. And the interpretation has to be closely traceable to those words. We looked at the statute, which says anyone who provides, supplies, or administers anything to procure the miscarriage or an abortion will get punished. It's pretty clear, the miscarriage. But we think we know what miscarriage means. And as a physician, I have been involved in probably hundreds, maybe thousands of DNCs to complete an incomplete or spontaneous abortion. You might call it a miscarriage, but that's kind of pushing the language, because even today, an early term incomplete abortion is not generally thought of as a miscarriage. Miscarriages come a bit later. And if you look at the issue of understanding what those words meant and how the law should be interpreted, you have to say that the layperson who says here that the law bans all abortions except required to save a woman's life would be correct. And that's how the court dealt with it. But the court forgot something. The common law, in effect, when the law was passed, did not punish pre-quickening abortions. Remember, we talked about this before. The baby hadn't kicked yet. And pre-quickening abortions, we know historically, you look at those and you go, maybe they're not ideal, but they certainly aren't regarded as killing a person. Yes, there are Christian groups today that regard it that way. But the fact is, throughout history, whether it's the Jewish history or on, that is not considered an abortion. That is something very, very early. And even in the Arizona case, the pre-quickening abortions were not punished under that law. So you look at it and you say, okay, this happened when Arizona was not a state. Women could not vote. Married women had no legal identity because it's all covered under the husband's name, etc. And what you have is a definition which the court forgot to chase up. They forgot to chase it. And now Grossman and Halmesser are very clear about what they want, because even though they go through this legal and historical analysis to show that a pre-quickening abortion is not in view in the Arizona law, they go back and they talk about the Dobbs decision, Dobbs versus Whole Women's Health in Jackson, Mississippi. The Supreme Court used it to overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, prior to this, legal authorities of all stripes admitted that Roe was a piece of horrible lawmaking. It did not use good terms. It did not look at anything in the law. It invented a right to abortion, as the expression goes, out of whole cloth. It simply declared it. It was bad law. And what you have, and this is something that Grossman and Halmesser in Justia Verdict refused to admit, is really a careful analysis of the Roe decision. Instead, they call it wanton, which literally means merciless, inhumane, without just foundation, without check or limitation. In other words, the Dobbs decision came out of the blue to satisfy political desires. No, it didn't. What it did was say that the Roe decision was wanton. It had no legal foundation. Here's why it had no legal foundation. It goes through it in great detail and says, therefore, it was wrongly decided. And it had to be overturned. And all Dobbs did was say that the decision about legal restrictions on abortion have to be left to the states under the 9th and 10th Amendments. And those amendments, the 9th Amendment says the enumeration, that is the listing in this Constitution of certain rights, shall not be construed, that means to be understood, to deny or disparage others retained by the people. It says the list isn't complete. That's all it really says. And then the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States, that is the central government, the feds, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, guess what? This is federalism. It's not our job. And this is where Donald Trump actually did things right, when he said it's not a federal issue. When you have various people like Lindsey Graham-Nesty out there claiming that we need a federal law banning abortion, he's being an utter idiot. He's passing ammunition to the Democrats. And anyone else who thinks that that's the way to go is dumb. I'm sorry, they are flat out dumb. You can be totally pro-life, but you recognize that law is law. And the Constitution says all the abortion stuff belongs at the state. And yes, the states will do different things. The key here is that states are known in an idealistic sense as the laboratory of democracy. The states will figure out one way to do one thing or another. Florida banned DEI. We have Utah just did it. There are a number of states looking, saying in our state universities, there won't be any more DEI stuff. Louisiana just passed, is passing one. The DEI offices go away. You will have no DEI classes. You will have nobody who is required to swear allegiance to diversity, equity, and inclusion on your staff or in your student body. Everything will be done on pure, unadulterated merit. And what's happening? You have states like New York, where DEI is a big deal. Guess what? People are leaving New York. California, same story. People are leaving. In New York, they're leaving on the order of 250,000 a year. California, something like it. Illinois, same story. People are leaving. Why? Because the state is destroying itself by denying America. And as the expression goes, the O'Biden administration is trying to fundamentally transform America. We can only hope that we win this fight. Now, we've already won the fight on the culture. There is no question. We don't like being lectured to in our movies. So what's happened with Disney? All of those woke movies went broke. And now, even with the new head, they're still having problems understanding that, you know, the happiest place on earth is the happiest place on earth because it is so family friendly. Our movies are good because they are family friendly. That's why you can see Moana as a family friendly movie. I could go on with some of the others my great granddaughters are loving. But the point is, they love the princesses. They love all of the beautiful girls. They don't care about the others. They hate libraries that have the gay and alphabet soup story time. So what happens is these states are slowly pushing back. But we need to consider something. The left will use arguments that work for their desired end rather than allowing them in all cases. They are the ones who are wanton, merciless, inhumane, without foundation, without check or limitation. Why? They want raw power. And this brings us to a key tactic. Think about this for a minute. You can argue issues with the Democrats and they will just run off like water off a duck's back. It'll disappear. The issues don't stick. They don't hear you. Why? We talked about it in the first segment. They are either serial liars or they are delusional. And so you can argue, for example, that if we look at the rise in CO2, which is real, and compare the rise in temperature, which is real, we do not have a match because the rise in temperature has been flat for about, 15, 20 years, and the CO2 keeps on climbing. And, oh, by the way, the rise in temperature started long before the rise in CO2. Does that have any effect on a lefty? Go to Quora and try to make that argument. You'll get laughed at. They will scream at you. They will put lies in front of you. You ask them, how do you measure the temperature of the earth? Well, they'll try to come up with something, but their measurements, among other things, include about half to two-thirds of their measurement stations being in places that are not valid places for measuring. Cities have grown up around them. They're going to be overly hot. Just like Phoenix is a heat island. Yes, it's in the Valley of the Sun, which is hot to start with, but it's all that much hotter because of all the air conditioning and all of the concrete reflecting the heat back up. It's 10 degrees warmer than it would be otherwise. If you have a temperature monitoring station there, guess what? It's going to read temperature at 10 degrees too high. You put one 15 miles out of town, it might give a valid reading for the purposes of measuring global temperature. But they can't argue those things. Issues are noise to them. They just don't get it. They never want any kind of a comparison between facts and claims. And remember, we talked about this. Abortion is not healthcare. It never is, unless you're talking about the health of the mother, where the carrying the baby would cause direct harm. I had a case, a young lady with primary pulmonary hypertension. She was starting into her second trimester of pregnancy, which gives all of the load on the heart and the lungs. We had to get that baby out. She died on the operating table. There was no way she was going to survive, and we were unable to get her through, you know, get the baby out with her alive. It just didn't work. There was nothing we could do. It was too far gone. That is the only time in 36 years of doing anesthesia that I was involved in an abortion where the life of the mother was in jeopardy. Now, I have been involved in one other, just what's called an intact dilatation and extraction of a baby with just gross non-survivable anomalies. You know, two-chambered heart instead of four, microcephaly, God knows what else, you know, severe spina bifida, you know, run the list. There's a big, long list of things that were wrong with this kid, and so it had to be, you know, terminated, because frankly, it would never have the opportunity to survive even 5 minutes out of the womb. So yes, there are some that are health control, but we need to start changing the argument. And the argument goes like this. Let's take that video from New York City where an old lady was knocked down and kicked. And I don't remember if she was killed or just brutally attacked. You show the video and you voice over, this lethal beating was brought to you by the Democrat Party. Or you go to buildings on fire, like in Portland, where they were attacking the federal buildings, or in Baltimore, where they burned down the CVS or Walgreens or whatever it was in their own neighborhood. Quote, you know, you show that video, these mostly peaceful protests were brought to you by the Democrat Party. Or the person who was killed by being shoved onto the subway tracks by an illegal alien criminal, this attack was brought to you by the Democrat Party. Or you show the good picture of that college student who was murdered by an illegal alien who was let loose from New York. Yeah. And you just say, this funeral was brought to you by the Democrat Party. You get the picture. All we need to do is have quick hitters. There can be audio ones for radio. There's 15 seconds or 10 second ones for TV. They're quick enough. They hit and they're gone before anybody can hit the mute button or change channels or whatever else. You get the picture. After the break, guns.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Dr. Ted Noel. Before we continue, please visit AmericaOutloud.shop for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life. Use promo code OUTLOUD to get special discounts only for our America Out Loud family. Guns. To some people, they are frightening. Oh my God, I can't use it. I can't be around a gun. It's like it was a snake and would bite them. Other people, hey, we enjoy them. We shoot them whenever we get the chance. And frankly, they're a lot of fun. I personally enjoy them for shooting. I enjoy them for their mechanical excellence. And oh yes, I use them for a moral purpose. That moral purpose is defense. It's defense of the individual and defense of my friends, neighbors, and family. And this is a moral imperative for any civilized society. You must have the ability to defend yourself from, as the Englishman would say, the highwayman. It is important. Once you take away the right to defense, and let's look at New York recently, where you let criminals on the street and they beat people up and there's no one there to take them down, all you've done is change society into predators and victims. But an armed victim is not a victim. An armed victim is a citizen. And our legal heritage recognizes this. Forever, it has been a reality. Now, we no longer need hunting for most survival issues in terms of food. Although there are some places, when you go into the boonies of Alaska, for example, hunting is necessary for food. Watch the Life Below Zero series on History Channel, and you'll find a lot of occasions there. But frankly, in most of society, hunting's not a big deal anymore. but defense remains a moral imperative. And on that ground, I would highly recommend another site to you. It's lawofselfdefense.org. I think it's .org, it may be .com. But the key is the Law of Self-Defense. You look it up, Andrew Brink's site. He is an attorney. He's probably the foremost expert on self-defense in America. Subscribe to his site, to his videos. It's worth your time. But remember, as we look in the Constitution, let's go back and look at the Ninth Amendment. It says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That is an explicit statement that there are other rights that belong to people which are not listed in the Constitution. Okay? So the right to free speech, the right to free assembly, the right to self-defense through arms happen to be listed because they are of greater importance. But the left absolutely hates our ability to speak because it would tell people how evil the left is. And they absolutely hate our ability to defend ourselves because that is the greatest defense against a tyrannical government. An armed citizenry can defend itself. But when you have dictators who prevent the citizens from having guns, then they can do anything they want. And that's really what the left is all about. It's about raw power. Now, the legal status that we look at is the Law of Self-Defense as listed in three cases: Heller, McDonald, and Bruin. Heller declared that the Second Amendment protected a personal right, an individual right. And you will find lefty legal types who deny that even today, even though this has been the law of the land for over 10 years. McDonald said that the Second Amendment applied to the states, so the states couldn't take your right to a gun away from you. And then Bruin went farther and went through an immense historical background search showing that the Law of Self-Defense was pre-existent, and by and large, there is nothing that the feds can do against it or the states. It simply says that when the Constitution protects a right, that right is presumably inviolate. It is a personal right that pre-exists the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights did not grant it. The Bill of Rights guaranteed it. There's a difference. But the left is incapable of taking no for an answer. The Bruin decision came down within a week. New York said the entire state of New York is a sensitive place. Therefore, you can't carry a gun anywhere. That's basically what their new law said. That law is in the courts and will be overturned. The issue of sensitive areas basically is limited to those areas where the state provides security. For example, once you go through security at the airport, you go through TSA, you are now in what's called a sterile area. There are no armaments in that area, so you don't need to have armaments for defense. Your defense is provided by the state. When you go into a courthouse, everybody goes through the metal detector. That is a sterile area where the state provides the defense. That is a sensitive area. Well, guess what? Hawaii's Supreme Court decided that they were smarter than our Supreme Court of the United States and flat out said that the Supreme Court was wrong in Bruin. Guess what? They don't get a right to say that. Their obligation is to listen to the Supreme Court and to apply what the Supreme Court says. The Hawaii decision will get slapped down. But along the way, we have all kinds of other things. And a couple of the favorites are assault weapon bans. What is an assault weapon? We'll get to that in a minute. And high capacity magazine bans. What is high capacity? Let's start with that one because that's the simplest one. You have bans on guns that hold more than 10 rounds in a magazine. Well, that one's going to lose when it finally gets to the Supreme Court, because in 1803, yes, 1803, that was less than 20 years after the Constitution was adopted, the Lewis and Clark expedition carried with them a Ghirardelli air rifle. Wait a minute, that's not a firearm. True, it's not a firearm, but it is a rifle. As a matter of fact, it was a rifle that was issued to the Austrian sniper forces, and it had a very distinct advantage. It used an air reservoir, and they were interchangeable. You could have a couple of them pumped up, where the air reservoir would fire over 20 rounds without being recharged. And these rounds were more than powerful enough to take down a deer. This rifle was highly powerful. It had a 20-round magazine. When a state wants to limit 10-round magazines, guess what? The Ghirardelli at 20 rounds predates any restrictions on magazines, and it'll wipe out high-capacity magazine. But we have a second problem here. What is high capacity? I have an everyday carry gun, which has an 11-round magazine. A lot of people will carry a full-size 9mm. I carry a subcompact. My subcompact has an 11-round magazine. The people who carry a full-size 9 may have a 17-round magazine. That is a normal capacity magazine. But states like California and Illinois are trying to ban you having, well, New York plays the same game, and there are others. These lefty jurisdictions are saying, no, you can't have a high-capacity magazine. Well, guess what? The guns don't work without the magazine in them. And the normal magazine, for example, on my Canic, is 15 rounds. And there is a magazine disconnector so that if there's no magazine in the gun doesn't work. They are an integral part of the gun. So the high-capacity magazine bans are going to get wiped out. Now let's talk about assault weapons. One of the keys in the Bruin decision is that when a weapon is in common use for lawful purposes, target shooting is a lawful purpose. When a gun is in common use for lawful purposes, it is protected. What the Supreme Court did not do was to create a list. Well, if we start looking at the weapons that are the most common in the United States, the single most common rifle is an AR-15. You heard me right. The single most common rifle in the United States is an AR-15. And there are something on the order of 30 or 40 million of these things. I don't know. It's some big number. Nobody can give you an exact number on it, but it's the most common. It's the most popular. And if you look at the last couple of years, it's the one that's sold most often. And what is the most common use for it? Punching paper. It is just a really, really good target gun. Why? It is accurate. It's easy to use, and it has almost no recoil. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why the military uses a variation of it called the M4 as its gun. And because an AR-15 looks a little bit like an M4, oh my God, it's a military weapon. It's extremely powerful. They lie. Remember what we said early on? The truth is not a left-wing value. If I were on video, I would show you how much different a 223 round is to the 308. Now, 308 is an ordinary hunting rifle, and it was and remains a military round in certain purposes. 308 is a much more powerful round than a 223. It's just that simple. Give you the idea, the standard 5.56 millimeter NATO, they call it, load has a 55 grain bullet. The standard 308 starts at 150 and goes up to 180 grains. That's between three and almost four times as much. The 308 will be somewhere in the 2400 feet per second range, and out of an M4 with a 14 inch barrel, the 5.56 NATO will be about 2800 feet per second. In other words, the velocity is almost the same, but the 308 is much more powerful than the AR-15, or I should say than the AR-15. But, oh yeah, a bolt-action rifle doesn't look nearly as frightening as something that's all dressed up like a military rifle. But there is a bigger difference yet. An AR-15 is semi-automatic. Okay, the semi is the key word there. It is an auto-loader. That is, you fire a round and it will load another round. It kicks out the empty, loads a new one. But you then have to release the trigger and pull it again for it to fire a second time. That's the same as my mechanic pistol. That's the same as a 1911 pistol. Any of the pistols that are out there in normal use are semi-automatic, and they use the same idea. You pull the trigger, one bullet goes, the gun cycles, kicks out the empty, loads another one, it's ready to go, but you have to release the trigger and pull it again for it to fire a second time. That is semi-automatic. Doesn't matter whether I'm looking at a 22 target pistol, a 9mm, a 45, a 223, or go up to an M1A, which is a 308, or even to the World War II M1 Garand, which was a 30-06. Okay, they all operate the same way. The M4, on the other hand, is a selective fire weapon. It is capable of fully automatic fire as well as semi-automatic fire. And that switch that allows it to go fully automatic is loosely known as the giggle switch, because you giggle as your wallet drains with all of that ammunition going downrange. In any case, fully automatic is fun, but is not very practical for most reasons. Now, assault weapons, the term does exist, and it found its reality in 1944 with the German Sturmgewehr 44, the STG 44. It fired a medium caliber bullet. In its case was, I think, a 7mm Mauser. I'm not sure about it, but it was a medium caliber rifle capable of full automatic or semi-automatic fire. That is an assault weapon. AR-15s, the AKM, which is the semi-automatic version of the AK-47, are not assault rifles. Never have been, never will be. And most of the time, if you ask a lefty to define the term, they can't define it. It is a medium caliber rifle capable of selective fire. The term selective means I can select full automatic, I can select semi-automatic. Okay? If they can't define it, they have no idea what they're doing. So what do? They write laws that says something that looks like an AR-15 is illegal. If it's got this piece, that piece, it's illegal. On and on and on. And if you want to entertain yourself, go look up on the web California compliant AR-15. You will see all of the silliness that's gone on. to make an AR-15 compliant in California because they ban assault weapons. Okay. Illinois is banning assault weapons. New Jersey's banning them. You know, run the list. This is an extremely popular activity, but all of these are used widely for lawful purposes, and any ban on them is unconstitutional. It violates the Second Amendment directly. And remember, the Second Amendment has one primary purpose: defense. It allows us to protect ourselves, our families, and our neighbors in the need time. It allowed someone in a Walmart to take out a planned mass killer with a single shot from a 9mm pistol. Yes, he was exercising the right of self-defense and protecting his neighbors. He was defending his neighbors. So what do we have from the left? Let's look at what they say. Anything the left says about guns, frankly, is factually wrong. They're not extremely dangerous. But if they weren't dangerous, they wouldn't be useful, because they must be dangerous to the bad guys. And under the Cayetano decision, to be banned, something must be both dangerous and unusual. All of these guns are semi-automatic. The left uses any excuse to ban guns, because they make us free. And so what are they doing? Now, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is putting out rule after rule after rule, trying to shut us down. They redefined the word frame. They redefined the word brace. They're losing it all of the lower courts. And so what did they do? They redefined the term in the business. So if I take a gun that I paid $500 for, and I, you know, over time it's gone up, and I sell it for $600. I'm now in the business, and they're going to convict me of some rule violation. They're going to use every means possible. So now is the time to get your guns, your ammunition, and so on. And remember, you don't need an AR-15. You need two AR-15s. This is Dr. Ted Noel. Remember, it's the message that matters. Let's unleash the truth.